Proverbs 20. Wine is a mocker, strong drink a brawler, and whoever is intoxicated by it is not wise. The terror of a king is like the growling of a lion. He who provokes him to anger forfeits his own life. Keeping away from strife is an honor for a man, but any fool will quarrel. The sluggard does not plow after the autumn, so he begs during the harvest and has nothing. A plan in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding draws it out. Many a man proclaims his own loyalty, but who can find a trustworthy man? A righteous man who walks in his integrity, how blessed are his sons after him. A king who sits on the throne of justice disperses all evil with his eyes. Who can say, I have cleansed my heart, I am pure from my sin? Differing weights and differing measures, both of them are abominable to the Lord. It is by his deeds that a lad distinguishes himself, if his conduct is pure and right. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made both of them. Do not love sleep, or you will become poor. Open your eyes, and you will be satisfied with food. Bad, bad, says the buyer, but when he goes his way, then he boasts. There is gold and an abundance of jewels, but the lips of knowledge are a more precious thing. Take his garment when he becomes surety for a stranger, and for foreigners hold him in pledge. Bread obtained by falsehood is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth will be filled with gravel. Prepare plans by consultation and make war by wise guidance. He who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. Therefore do not associate with the gossip. He who curses his father or his mother, his lamp will go out in time of darkness. An inheritance gained hurriedly at the beginning will not be blessed in the end. Do not say, I will repay evil. Wait for the Lord, and he will save you. Differing weights are an abomination to the Lord, and a false scale is not good. Man's steps are ordained by the Lord. How then can man understand his way? It is a trap for a man to say rashly, it is holy, and after the vows to make inquiry. A wise king winnows the wicked and drives a threshing wheel over them. The spirit of man is a lamp of the Lord, searching all the innermost parts of his being. Loyalty and truth preserve the king, and he upholds his throne by righteousness. The glory of young men is their strength, and the honor of old men is their gray hair. Stripes that wound scour away evil, and strokes reach the innermost parts. Amen. Again, this Proverbs deals with life and conduct. This becomes a little bit more general sayings, so we'll just touch on a few of these. And I mentioned, you know, the other day that it's quite difficult to go through Proverbs, try to do the whole chapter in one day. So we'll just kind of just pick a little nuggets here and there. The first one, now, the Bible really has only one thing to say about alcohol. And that's simply don't get drunk. And so if I know some people come from a holiness tradition. A lot of American Christianity actually comes from this tradition. And so this would be absolutely not. You can't touch this thing at all. You know, but then we see European Christians operate in a very, very different way. I remember the first time I went to the UK, and I went to a church meeting. It was an incredible meeting. God was moving like crazy. And then afterwards, the guys asked me to fellowship. I said, yeah, great, let's hang out. I thought we were going to go to Denny's or something. That's the typical of what we do in the States. Instead, they went to a pub. And I was like, okay, yeah, there's not Denny's or these kind of places here. And then I was shocked that they started drinking beer. And, you know, to me, coming from a holiness movement, that just seems so odd. But, you know, the world is very different. And then you realize, actually, what the Bible talks about alcohol is about drunkenness. And so there's passages in Isaiah, there are passages in Jeremiah, that actually drinking and alcohol was a sign of good times. There's also passages is in the Old Testament and New Testament, particularly Noah. Remember, he gets drunk, and then a shame comes upon him through his sons. And so, but again, goes the idea of drunkenness. But there are some nuggets here in Proverbs also in, I believe it's Ecclesiastes. But we'll just get to this. Wine is a mocker, strong drink a brawler, and whoever is intoxicated by it is not wise. Now, the text is pretty clear to us that alcohol should not take precedence in our life. And so I know we know many people, this is what we call alcoholism, and it has totally overcome their life. And so the wisdom writer is just simply saying wine will eventually mock you. Strong drink will eventually be your fighter, be your brawler, in that sense that when it overtakes us, that's basically what happens. And so I think with alcohol as a church, in moderation, right, you make sure that, number one, Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life. Nothing else is Lord of your life, be it alcohol or obviously, clearly don't do illegal drugs. I mean, that kind of goes without saying. But we don't want anything to have a hold on us in that way. And he says, and whoever is intoxicated by it is not wise. And so if you know brothers and sisters that alcohol plays a very large role in their life, probably point him to passages like this. Passages like Proverbs 31, where King Lemuel's mom is talking to him about alcohol as well. And so that's a mother's advice. So, okay, let's go down. Verse 4. The sluggard does not plow after the autumn, so he begs during the harvest and has nothing. The translation is a sluggard does not plow in the winter. And what's meant by this is that, well, you don't harvest in the winter. You don't plow. You don't do anything in the winter. But the sluggard, the lazy person, everything is an excuse. Oh, it's raining outside. Oh, okay. Can't do anything because it's raining. Oh, it's cold outside. Can't do anything. It's too hot outside. Can't do anything. It's hot. And this is the attitude of a lazy person, a sluggard. And so every day is like winter to them. And so the reality is if you don't do your work in its season, and in a farming community, there's a season for you to do that work. If you don't do your work during that season, then it's going to come bite you at the end. And people that work in this industry know exactly what that's like. And so the idea, like the wine and the strong drink is talking about excess. This is also talking about excessive laziness in that way. Verse 5, another good one. A plan in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding draws it out. And so if you want to know what's actually in the heart of someone, in other words, it's what we use the term motive. If you want to know what are the motives of a person, like what is this person all about, you have to draw it out of them. In other words, you have to build a relationship. You have to spend time with this person. You cannot say that you really understand someone and not spend any time with them, or not try to have a plan of this idea of drawing it out. And that's a man of understanding. He's the one that draws it out. Every single one of us is a deep well in some ways. And the idea for us is a wise man, an understanding man, is someone that takes the time, that takes the effort to draw out whatever it is in the heart of a person. I think that's important for us to grasp. And so if you really want to get to know someone, you want to get to know how they tick, you want to get to know what they're about, you spend time. And the spending time is drawing this out and learn to be a listener. All right, another wisdom, verse 13. Do not love sleep or you will become poor. Open your eyes and you will be satisfied with food. Now, as the wisdom writer is saying, don't sleep, okay? Everyone, sleep is evil, sleep is bad. No, what he's talking about, again, is this excessive sleep. It's this laziness, again. Someone that's just always sleeping, and which also could attribute to some kind of mental illness in this way, or some mental health issue that's happening, usually depression or something to that way. And so you don't want to be the person that loves sleep. Now, you need the sleep. And so it's important. It's interesting also to note that scientists actually still don't know why human beings need to sleep. Right? There's a lot of things that science does not answer for us, but we need to sleep. Sleep is a really good part of our lives that should be a healthy part of our lives. And so it's not talking about not sleeping. It's talking about excessive sleeping. And so you don't want to be someone who is obsessed with sleeping. I know that, I mean, this would drive me crazy in our house. But teenagers, they, for whatever reason, they must need a lot of sleep because they sleep for a long time. I mean, one of my daughters, I think, slept for like 20 hours one time. It was unbelievable. But they have the ability to do that. And so, but trust me, it really irks me. And so I use verses like this to help my case. 21, this is a great wisdom saying. An inheritance gained hurriedly at the beginning will not be blessed in the end. This reminds me of R.T. Kendall's mentor. He said this, he said one of the worst things that can happen to a leader is for them to succeed early. And there's a lot of wisdom in that. There seems to be a process by which God operates. You reach a certain level by going through this process. You come to a place of maturity. So sometimes early success for a minister, in this person's viewpoint, this is Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, in his viewpoint, he considered that to be a recipe for disaster. Because when you succeed early, what happens is you think it's because of you. You think it's because of your effort or your greatness or your ability or something. And then pride steps into the fold. And where pride is, there's always destruction. And so in that same way, this person is saying, you get something that has nothing to do with you. It's an inheritance. It may not go well at the end. And I think that's just a really wise saying. It's important that we work for things. It's important sometimes that we struggle for things as well. I'll just be really honest. You know, Lisa and I, we're married now, 24 years? And to this day, I'm still grateful. Right, for being married and you know, four kids. I'm super grateful because I remember what it was like to be single. You know, I mean, I remember the struggle of being single and, you know, not having anyone and the loneliness and all this kind of stuff. And so then when we get married, I'm so grateful. And then when you have difficulty in marriage, you remember the difficult times when you're single. Right? And it kind of gives you perspective, you know, in this way. I'm sorry to bum out all the single people here this morning, but God has a plan for you as well. And so I think it's important. And so there's something about us recognizing, right, God's hand in this whole thing. And so we have some wisdom. And the last one I want to touch on, 27, the spirit of man is a lamp of the Lord, searching all the innermost parts of his being. I think it's a beautiful verse. And if you haven't heard this before, I'm sure if you've been here at SP, you have. We are a whole person, but we are comprised of different parts. And it's hard to say, you know, how is this separate part or this part, but we are body, right? We are soul. And our soul consists of our mind, our will, and our emotions, and we are the spirit, our spirit. All those things are, they form a whole person, but they are different in some ways. Now, it's not exclusively like separate because we're a whole person, because we know that if you have mental illness, in other words, your mind is not working very well and your emotions are all whack, it affects your body. And if your body is hurt, it affects your mind and your emotions and your will. So they're all connected in some way, but there are differences. Now, the spirit, and this is what's interesting, The Spirit is a place that the Holy Spirit inhabits. And so when you become a Christian, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when you proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, the Holy Spirit, what happens? He invades your spirit. But now, it's interconnected, but now your body, your mind, your will, and emotions need to be discipled to come under the leading of the Holy Spirit that is now in your spirit. Your spirit is eternal. Your mind, will, emotions, your body will perish. Your spirit is the only thing that's eternal. That spirit is the essence of who you are. The Holy Spirit invades that space. And so the writer is taking note of these nuances. The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the innermost parts of his being. And this would be consistent with Paul's Christology as he talks about the work of the Spirit in our life and how the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf with moans and groans too deep for words. It searches the heart of God. It's the same kind of idea that is being drawn here, how important it is for us to submit our body, our will, our emotions, and our mind to the Holy Spirit. I leave home every morning. I pray for my kids. I lay my hands on their forehead. I kiss them on the forehead, and I say this prayer. And I just say, I bless your spirit, right, to come under the Holy Spirit, right, your body, your mind, your will, and emotions, and the Holy Spirit will take preeminence over you. And then I kiss them, and I go to work, basically. And I think it's a good habit, and I remind myself all the time, my body, my will, my emotions, my mind comes under the authority of the Holy Spirit. And that's what this writer is trying to say to us today. All right, so let's close our eyes. By the way, that Christology that I just explained can actually help you work through a lot of theological issues. Like one, can Christians be demonized? And yes, they can. Right? How is that possible? Because the Holy Spirit invades the spirit, but also the body, the mind, will, and emotions need to come under the Holy Spirit. And that's a discipling process that takes place. How, when the Bible, when John talks about, you know, that if you have the Holy Spirit, then you cannot sin. Well, we're sinning. Well, the spirit is not, but our body, our mind, will, and emotions are. And so you could see how those things kind of come together to explain a lot of these ideas. Okay, so let's close our eyes. Let's go back to that idea a bit. I want to invite you, as Nikki leads us in a song, I want to invite you to just say that prayer over yourself right now. Right? Just say, I command my spirit, right, to take preeminence over my body, my mind, my will, my emotions. You just bless your spirit to come under the power of the Holy Spirit. You bless your body, mind, will, emotions to come under the power of the Holy Spirit.
My sins runs deep. is born, where grace is found, is where you are, and where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God. So I teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, when I cannot stand, I fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
Let's pray this morning. Let's bless our spirit to connect the Holy Spirit and lead our body, mind, will, emotions. Let's pray that prayer over yourself. Pray that prayer over yourself every single day. Pray it over your children. Pray it over your parents. Right? I bless your spirit to connect the Holy Spirit and lead your body and mind, will, and emotions. The Holy Spirit is the leader.